Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open the word of truth this evening to Colossians chapter 3, and we will resume our study at verse 4. Colossians chapter 3, we will resume at verse 4. All right, SOP for Bible class is to be in fellowship. Therefore, the next few moments are devoted to silent prayer to give us, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, our privacy of our priesthood and the privilege of being in fellowship, therefore filled with the Spirit, so that we can function under GAP. Let us pray. Thank you now, Heavenly Father, for the wonderful privilege we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ of being in a place to receive the Word of God, which is our manna from heaven. Your faithfulness is demonstrated to us and your grace in that we are alive and here and ready for the intake of the Word. Now may God the Holy Spirit take this special manna from heaven, which we examine this evening, and make it a part of the grace provision of our souls, that the objectives which are designed for phase two might be fulfilled in our lives tonight. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, and when we resume, we will start at verse 4. Now, so far in this chapter, we began with the study of the doctrine of the plan of God. We have seen in verses 1 through 3 the challenge of current positional truth. That was verse 1. Verse 1 begins with a first-class condition, and the objective of verse 1 is to begin the challenge. If, therefore, you have been raised in the sphere of the Christ, keep on desiring to possess and endeavoring to obtain the above things. The above things refer to Bible doctrine. To obtain the above things, doctrine, where Christ is, sitting on the right-hand side of the God, God the Father. Then there is a challenge of mental attitude in verse 2. Keep thinking objectively about the things, the above things, Bible doctrine, not the things upon the earth. The things upon the earth are related to satanic propaganda. Now, as we continue in this particular area, keep thinking about things above and not on things of the earth, the next problem we face has to do with the principle that we are dead. Our life is hid with Christ in God. This we have already studied. We have studied the various kinds of death. And now our objective is to go on from this particular point and take up the challenge to the bride of Christ. Last week, we studied verse 3. Christ, we are dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God. Now, having studied that, we move on tonight to verse 4, the challenge to the bride of Christ. When Christ, our life, shall appear, who is not found in the original. We begin verse 4 with a compound conjunction. The compound conjunction, hoton. Hoton means whenever. Looks like this. H-O-T-A-N. It is a combination of two very short words. The adverb hote, H-O-T-E, plus the particle on, the particle of vagueness and uncertainty. And when these are put together, it is used with the aorist subjunctive in order to present the challenge of the bride of Christ. In other words, Christ appears as the groom before we appear as the bride, and the compound conjunction is used to demonstrate this principle. So it should be translated whenever or on the occasion of. Next we have the word Christ, which is ho Christos, the Christ. The definite article is used. H-O-C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S. Ho Christos. When, on the occasion of, or whenever, the Christ, our life. Now the Greek text looks like this. Hey, Zoe, Hamon. H-E-Z-O-E. H-E-M-O-N. Hey, Zoe is the life of ours. Hamon. Now this refers to the analogy of right man, right woman. In the analogy, Christ is the groom and the church age believer is the bride. 2 Corinthians 11:2, Ephesians 5:25 through 33, and Revelation 19:6 through 8. While on earth, during the church age, the believer is a part of the body of Christ. But at the end of the church age, the believer becomes the bride of Christ. Only in resurrection body, however, is the church the bride of Christ. This phrase, Christ, our life, also refers to the celebrityship of Jesus Christ. He is at the right-hand side of God. He is the only celebrity for the church age. Whenever or on the occasion of the Christ, our life. Next we have our verb, shall appear, aorist passive subjunctive of phaneroo. P-H-A-N-E-R-O-O, phaneroo. It means to become manifest, and it refers here to the second advent of Jesus Christ and or the marriage supper. Not the rapture, but the second advent. The aorist tense is a culminative aorist. This means that the appearance is a final one to the earth. The passive voice, the subject receives the action of the verb, and the subject is Jesus Christ at the second advent. That's when he becomes manifest to the earth that he is the groom. This is manifest to the bride at the rapture. This is coming back to the earth. Subjunctive mood is used in a subordinate clause to imply a future reference, and therefore it is a potential subjunctive in the standpoint that it is the aorist subjunctive, and the future tense have approximately the same morphology, and they do have the same concept. So it is used to indicate a future event, but not an uncertain future event. The culminative aorist plus the subjunctive indicates the certainty of this future event, the second advent of Christ, or the manifestation of bride and groom to the earth. Literally then, on the occasion when the Christ, our life, shall become manifest, second advent, then, adverb of time, tote, at that time. This is referring to the second advent. It is not referring to the rapture. That's when the bride meets the groom. And that's when the bride is prepared by resurrection body minus soul, sin, nature, minus human good. And this, we're talking about the second advent, when Christ comes back with the bride. It's a picture of the ancient world, of the ancient wedding ceremony, where the groom picked up the bride and took her to his house, and the taking of the bride to his house was the marriage ceremony. When he arrived there, his friends were in the house. Her friends were waiting outside the house. We saw this the other night. The principle again, you have to go back to the time in which this was written. In the time in which this was written, we have a house over here. That's not an outhouse, that's a bride's house. She's going out of the house, however. The groom is out here with his chariot and his horses. And he picks up the bride, and when they get in the chariot and take off, and they go down here to his house. I think I better draw another kind of house this time. Inside are his friends. Outside are her friends. Her friends are not permitted in until she arrives with the groom. Then they go in and they feast for several days, eating, drinking, and so on. Now, the bride and the groom arriving here is a picture of the second advent, same thing as we have in the parable of the virgins, where the wise and foolish virgins were waiting outside. Those who had oil in the lamp went inside. The others went down to the utotum to pick up some oil. When they came back, the door was shut. We are few but alert. All right. This is the second advent then. This is the manifestation of the bride and groom. The preparation took place over here. See, this is the rapture over here. This is the second advent. All right? The picking up of the bride is the rapture. The manifestation of the bride and the groom is the actual wedding. The wedding occurs at the wedding feast. On the occasion when Christ our life shall become manifest, Christ our life, Christ our right man, Christ our only celebrity, shall become manifest, second advent. At that time shall ye also appear. Now we have the future passive indicative of phanero'o. P-H-A-N-E-R-O-O. We had before the aorist passive subjunctive. Now we have the future passive subjunctive. We also have with this the adjunctive kai, K-A-I, plus the nominative plural of the pronoun su, S-U, and it should be translated, at that time also you shall become manifest. This means to become manifest as the bride to the groom, Jesus Christ. The groom is called Christ our life, right man, right woman. Right man, Jesus Christ. Right woman, the church. The future tense is both predictive future for an event in the future time, plus the nomic future for a statement of absolute fact. The passive voice, the believer of the church age receives manifestation as the bride of Christ at the second advent. This is manifestation to the world. Now, we've gone over this a few times, went over this a long time ago in Matthew. You will recall that we better put the house over here this time. When the groom picks up the bride, that's the rapture. The bride is in her house with her weeping parents. And the groom picks her up, that's the rapture. Now, from the trip from her house to his home and their new home, that's over here, that's the elapse of time of the tribulation. And the trip is made in the chariot here. And then second advent, Christ comes back with the bride. And inside we have the friends of the groom, Christ. Outside are the friends of the bride waiting, and everyone goes in and lives happily ever after because that's the millennium. The passive voice then, the believer of the church age, receives manifestation as the bride. See, it isn't manifest when the church leaves the earth. It's manifest when the church comes back with Christ. The indicative mood is the reality of the manifestation of the groom, Jesus Christ, and the bride, church age believers. Now, we've had phanero'o twice. Phanero'o is not used for the rapture. It is used for the second advent. Now, we have a prepositional phrase to be sure that you understand this. With him. The preposition soon plus the instrumental of autos. Soon, S-U-N, plus autos. A-U-T-O-S. Reflexive pronoun, used as a demonstrative pronoun here. Together with him, literally. This is the instrumental of autos means association when used with soon. So it should be translated together with, indicating intimacy. Next we have another prepositional phrase, N plus the locative of su, in the sphere of glory. N plus su, E-N-S-U, in the locative case. In the sphere of glory. All right, literally then, this verse says, on the occasion when the Christ, our life, right man is the meaning here, shall become manifest, second advent. At that time, at the second advent, also you shall become manifest together with him in glory. Doctrine of the manifestation of the bride. Doctrine of the manifestation of the bride. Point one. Now remember, this is not rapture. This is second advent. Point one. The body of Christ is being formed on the earth during the church age. The body of Christ is being formed on the earth during the church age. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. 2, 16. 4, 4 and 5. 5, 23. Colossians 1, 18. 1, 24. 2, 19. Now you must understand the principle here. And that's quite applicable in our country. No one marries a child. A female child, the body is not formed until she's about mid-20s. There's always something out of kilter. As much symmetry as she will ever have, she will have by the time she's 25. And if she's careful, she can maintain it till she's 55 or 60. But she's either, her legs are too long, her trunk is too short, her trunk is too long, her legs are too short. She still has her baby fat, some lose it about 25. She still has all sorts of little small imbecilities that have to be shed before she's really ready for marriage. And that's a perfect analogy to the church age. The body of Christ is not one believer. The body of Christ is made up of all believers, and the body will not have symmetry until the rapture takes place. Even in the Hebrew, we studied this in Song of Solomon. You remember that the Shulamite woman says that her breasts were large. That means she was now fully developed as a woman and qualified for marriage. That's what the idiom means in the Hebrew. And the principle is that until the body of Christ is completed, the body of Christ is not eligible for marriage. Now, I don't know where we are in the church age, except that I know it began in 30 A.D. Let's assume for the moment that we are about this point. That means we're getting into the late teens, but we have not yet arrived. The body is not completed, but the very moment that the last person is saved to complete the body will have its symmetry, and the body will be qualified for marriage at that point. There is no marriage until the church comes of age. The church is not the bride of Christ now. The church is the body of Christ, and the body must be developed. The body belongs to him. The bride belongs to him. But it's just like a contract was made on the day of Pentecost. It's like the old days when they used to contract out marriages. Some little doll is born. She's still in the cradle. And the parents get together, and the other person may be 18 or 20, and they agree, they sign up a marriage contract. And when she's of age, she will marry this bird. That used to happen in India and still does. And that's the principle in effect here. The contract is made here, but the marriage cannot be consummated until the body of Christ has reached its symmetry point, and that is the rapture. So point one recognizes this principle, that when the rapture occurs, then the number of believers are of such a nature as to complete this dispensation and to make the believers of this dispensation in a special relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right man, right woman is the illustration of that, Ephesians 5. Point 2. When the body of Christ is completed, the rapture occurs. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 57. By comparing Colossians 2:15 with Revelation 19:6 through 8, with Zechariah 13:2 and 1 Thessalonians 3:13, it is concluded that the number of believers in the body of Christ will be equal to the number of demons now operating under Satan's command. By comparing Colossians 2:15 with Revelation 19:6 through 8, with Zechariah 13:2 and 1 Thessalonians 3:13, it is concluded that the number of believers in the body of Christ will be equal to the number of demons now operating under the command of Satan. Point 3. During the tribulation on earth, the bride is prepared in heaven. First, by entering into ultimate sanctification. The bride is prepared by entering into ultimate sanctification. The body of Christ enters into positional sanctification. The bride of Christ enters into ultimate sanctification. Ultimate sanctification is the resurrection body. 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 57, Philippians 3:21, 1 John 3:1 and 2. Secondly, the bride is prepared by being cleansed from all human good. There will be no human good on this bride. That's the white the bride wears. Purity. All impurities are removed. And the impurities are human good. 1 Corinthians 3:12 and 15. All the wood, hay, and stubble is removed. And finally, the bride no longer possesses the old sin nature. Well, this is essentially point 3, the preparation of the bride. Point 4, the bride returns with Christ at the second advent. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. Point 5, upon the return of the bride and the groom at the second advent, Operation Footstool occurs. Operation Footstool first mentioned Psalm 110:1. Actually, Operation Footstool is broken down into three parts. First, the triumphal procession in which all demons are disarmed by Jesus Christ and publicly displayed in a triumphal procession. Colossians 2:15. The disarming of all demons and publicly displaying them in a triumphal procession. Colossians 2:15. Next, Satan is imprisoned for 1,000 years. Revelation 20, 1 through 3. Satan is imprisoned for 1,000 years. And finally, church-age believers cast demons into prison. Just as at the end of a triumphal procession in Rome, the prisoners were cast into the Mamertine dungeon. Zechariah 13:2, Colossians 2:15, 1 Corinthians 15:24 and 25. 6. The next event is the coronation of the groom. The groom is crowned King of the world. Revelation 19:6, the groom being Jesus Christ. He is crowned King of the world. Revelation 19:6. 7. See, on the way to the wedding supper, a strange thing happened at the forum. Christ was coronated. 7. Next is the wedding supper of the Lamb. The wedding supper of the Lamb. Just put it down. Don't try to understand it yet. We all know that lambs don't get married, so don't give me an idiotic look. Revelation 19:7 through 9. Now, three things should be noted at the marriage supper. First, the marriage occurred in heaven, but the supper took place on earth. Following the analogy of the marriage of the ancient world, the moment the groom picks up the bride, the wedding has occurred. That's it. They didn't have any ceremony. He just picked her up at the door and hauled her off. No ceremony. That ceremony is a lot of nonsense anyway. It doesn't add to anything. It's a headache. It's a pain in the neck. To get ready to have a big church wedding is pitiful. You know, the girls always push the weak-kneed guys into it, with little help sometimes from family. Then when they all get down there, they find out that after an hour of drilling, it isn't nearly as much fun as they thought it was. And be that as it may, mother always gets a real emotional jag out of it. She cries a bit. All right. The marriage occurs in heaven, but the wedding supper takes place on the earth. Matthew 25:1 through 13. Secondly, the wedding supper of the Lamb is described in detail in Revelation 19:6 through 9. There are four categories involved in this wedding supper. One, the groom, Jesus Christ, the only celebrity of the church age and the future ruler of the world and the eternal ruler of the universe. Two, the friends of the groom. The friends of the groom are the Old Testament saints such as John the Baptist. John 3:29, and I use the word Baptist advisedly. John the Voice. John the greatest preacher of his time. Old Testament saints are the friends of the groom. See, they're already in the house. Then we have the bride, church age believers. That includes you. You'd make a lovely bride. And four, the friends of the bride, who are the tribulational believers who survive the tribulation. In other words, tribulational saints alive at the second advent. Matthew 25:1 through 13. All right, so much for the outline. Now one passage should be standing out in your minds. Turn to Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. This is the passage that explains much of the doctrine we have just covered in outline form. Revelation 19:6. It's at the other end of the Bible. A mistake like that's enough to fog up my glasses. Revelation 19:6. All right, here we go. And I heard, well, I'll read the passage And after we get through the passage, I want to do a little exegeting here. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, sometimes pronounced Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Say that 10 times fast, and you can preach anywhere. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb. See, I told you it was in the Bible. The marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are true sayings of God. All right, now for a little analysis. In verse 6, we have the coronation on the way to the wedding. I heard is an aorist active indicative of akouo, which by now should be an old friend. A-K-O-U-O. Akouo means to hear and concentrate. It means to hear and to accept the authority of the one who is teaching or communicating. And here it is tantamount to the Apostle John learning this doctrine from Gap. The aorist tense is constantive aorist because he heard a number of things put down in this book called Revelation. The active voice, he's gapping it. That's the way he picked up Revelation. And the indicative mood is the reality of learning these things from the Lord Jesus Christ through the ministry of the Spirit. They are recalled and recorded here. As it were is a correlative adverb, but not a verb. It's translated like an adverb. So it should be translated, and I heard as a voice. The word for voice is phone, which describes the categories of people present at the wedding feast. P-H-O-N-E, it's where we get words like phonograph and so on. Now, the word voice describes the guests of a great multitude. This is the genitive singular of aklos, used for a crowd. O-C-H-L-O-S. Aklos. A crowd or a multitude of people. It also has with it the genitive singular of polus, which looks like this. P-O-L-U-S. And the combination of the two words together should be translated a great crowd of people. And I heard as a voice a great crowd of people. These are church-age believers. And I heard as a voice of a great crowd of people, church-age believers. That's the great crowd of people. The great crowd of people, the bride. Strangely enough, the bride is present. And you and I are so categorized when we are in resurrection body. Next we have, and as the voice of many waters, hos phonein hudaton polon, refers to the friends of the groom. A voice of many waters. The friends of the groom are the Old Testament saints, plus tribulational believers who die during the tribulation. Special emphasis is always given on John the Baptist as the friend of the groom, John 3:29. The voice of many waters. These are the Old Testament saints in resurrection bodies. And as the voice of mighty thunderings, kai hos phonein bronton isturon, which is translated correctly, the voice of mighty thunderings, and it refers to believers who are alive at the second advent of Christ, and they are mighty thunderers. They have been fighting, they have been holding out against the enemy in one of the greatest campaigns in all of human history. These are the friends of the bride, the tribulational believers who are alive at the second advent, Matthew 25:1-13. And they're all saying something, the present active participle of Lego. They all keep saying present active participle, and you have it, alleluia. Now, this is, of course, taken from hallel, which means to praise. In fact, it's the PAL form of hallel. And Yah is a suffix for Jehovah. And hallelujah means to praise the Lord. However, this is a transliteration of that. See, we have in the Hebrew, hallelujah, Yah, J-A-H, that refers to the Lord. This is H-A-L-L-E-L-U, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Now, when that's brought into Greek, you have some problems. In the first place, the Greeks do not have the letter he. Instead, all they have for that is a rough breathing. So you have to start with the A and put a rough breathing over the A. And then we have some L's, lots of them. A-L-L-E-L-O-U-I-A. See, it's transliterated. A-L-L-O-E-L-O-U-I-A. And that's transliterated from hallel plus the suffix yah, which means praise the Lord. And since this is written in Greek, we're going to translate it saying praise the Lord. Not for, we have the Greek conjunction, causal conjunction, hoti, H-O-T-I, which means because. And I heard as a voice of a great crowd of people, church-age believers, the bride, and as a voice of many waters, Old Testament saints and tribulational martyrs, and as a voice of mighty thunderings, tribulational saints alive at the second advent, saying, praise the Lord, because the Lord God, Kurios Ho Theos. K-U-R-I-O-S-H-O-T-H-E-O-S. Lord the God. Kurios refers to deity. Theos refers to deity. Lord the God refers to the God-man who is emphasis here on his deity. So we'll call it the Lord God. It's really because Lord the God, omnipotent, Pantocrator. P-A-N-T-O-K-R-A-T-O-R. Krator, powerful, panto from pas, all-powerful. Reigneth, aorist, active, indicative of basiluo. B-A-S-I-L-E-U-O. Now, watch it. This means to become a king, not to reign. The Lord God, all-powerful, has become the king. And its culminative aorist for a coronation, the final coronation of all human history. Jesus Christ is crowned king, and he will reign forever. And he will reign for the last 1,000 years of human history. The active voice, the action is produced by Jesus Christ the groom, the only celebrity of the church age. And the indicative mood is the reality of the coronation of the groom, the church age, the church's right man. Now literally, and I heard as a voice of a great crowd of people, church age believers, and as a voice of many waters, Old Testament saints and resurrection bodies, tribulational martyrs, and as a voice of mighty thunderings, tribulational saints alive at the second advent, saying, praise the Lord, because the Lord God all-powerful has become the king. Now, in verse 7, we have the wedding. That's what happened on the way to the groom's house. coronation. Now, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice. Let us be glad as a present active subjunctive of Cairo. Cairo is generally translated rejoice. C-H-A-I-R-O. The translator had a little problem because he had what appeared to be a couple of synonyms, and so he really fouled it up. All the way through the Bible, the New Testament, Cairo has been translated to rejoice. And then all of a sudden, let us be glad. Real idiocy. Inconsistency of translation. The present active subjunctive of Cairo. Cairo here means to express absolute happiness. It is the status quo of a person in plus H expressing plus H. The present tense is linear action, sorry. The active voice, the church age believers as the bride. The Old Testament saints, the tribulational martyrs, also in resurrection body, as the groom's friends, plus the living tribulational believers as the friends of the bride, all produce the action. So we have people in resurrection body, we have people in human body, but they're all expressing plus H. The subjunctive mood is a hortatory subjunctive, and in which the bride exhorts the rest of the guests to join in the common action of expression of super grace happiness. I'm going to translate this. Let us express super happiness. Now our next word, and rejoice, present active subjunctive of agaliao, which looks like this. A-G-A-L-L-A-I-A-O, agaliao. This word means to be happy to the point of ecstatics, or what our Greek lexicons call to be overjoyed. Really means to be ecstatic. Let us express super happiness and let us be ecstatically happy. I suspect that agaliao really refers to a happiness which belongs to those in a resurrection body. So we can see a differentiation here. The tribulational saints will go into the millennium in their human bodies. They will repopulate the earth. They are capable of maximum Cairo, super grace Cairo, but they are not capable of the happiness that belongs to those in resurrection bodies. So the first verb expresses happiness, maximum happiness in human body. Second verb, maximum happiness in resurrection body. Let us express super happiness. Let us be ecstatically happy. And give, aorist active subjunctive of didymi. D-I-D-O-M-I. Now, didymi in the aorist tense is a culminative aorist. We have reached the great point of the wedding. The active voice, all involved in the wedding supper of the Lamb, have this happiness expressed. Subjunctive mood is hortatory. It is inviting everyone to join in. And let us give honor. But the word honor is the accusative singular of doxa. And doxa means glory. D-O-X-Z-A. Let us give glory to Him. This is the dative of the indirect object of autos referring to Christ. A-U-T-O-S. Now, here's where you have to watch it. This dative of indirect object indicates the one for whom the act of praise and all the happiness is performed. And let us give glory to Him as an indirect object dative indicates that all of this is focusing attention on the only celebrity of the church age, the Lord Jesus Christ. Four. Again, we have the causal conjunction, hoti, meaning because. H-O-T-I. Because, not for, because, hogamos to arnion. Hogamos, H-O-G-A-M, or Gamos, the marriage, two, of the, that's genitive, lamb, arnion, A-R-N-I-O-N. This should be T-O-U. Hogamos arnion refers to the marriage of the lamb or the marriage supper. Now, the marriage of the lamb has come. Has come is the aorist active indicative of erkomai. E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. And this is the point at which we hit this thing from Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. You'll remember Colossians 3, 4, where we have, when Christ our life, on the occasion when Christ our life, shall become manifest. And ye also manifest with him in glory. This is that point. This is where we are now in Revelation 19. This is actually the fulfillment of Colossians 3:4. Now it should be translated, because the marriage of the Lamb has come. The wife, hey gune autu. Gune here refers to the right woman. The right woman is the church, the body of Christ, Romans 5:25 and following. Hath prepared herself, aorist active indicative of hetoimazo. H-E-T-O-I-M-A-Z-O, hetoimazo. Has prepared herself, and this is, there's a reflexive pronoun here with it, but we have the aorist tense, meaning it's a culminative aorist. The preparation is over. She is in a resurrection body, minus the old sin nature, minus human good. The active voice indicates that this has occurred up to this moment, and the indicative mood is the reality of the fact that the bride is prepared and the marriage is now consummated at the wedding feast. Literally then, let us express super happiness, and let us be ecstatically happy, and let us give glory to Him, because the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His right woman, the church, has prepared herself. Verse 8, we have the wedding dress. No wedding is complete without some description of the wedding dress. Women never ask about who was at the wedding. They first of all ask, what did the bride wear? Be interesting if the answer would sometime come back a fig leaf. But this bride will never wear a fig leaf, because fig leaves represent human good. And that's what the Adam's first bride, the first Adam's only bride, tried to wear after the fall. And now we have the last Adam's only bride, and she is clothed in a resurrection body. All right, verse 8. And to her was granted. Granted here is the aorist passive indicative of didymi, and it means was given. D-I-D-O-M-I. Grant is an old English word for giving. This is culminative aorist. This is the completion of this giving. The passive voice, the church is the bride of Christ, receives preparation, resurrection body, minus the old sin nature, minus human good. The indicative mood is the reality of the bride's preparation. The subject is it, or the preparation mentioned in the previous verse, and it was given to her. That is, the preparation was given to her. That. Here we have the conjunction hina to introduce a semifinal clause. Hina introduces here a semifinal purpose clause in which the clause denotes direction of the action of the main verb. The main verb is to give. And the goal or direction is toward a given result. And this is the result, that she should be arrayed. Aorist middle indicative of periballo. P-E-R-I-B-A-L-L-O, pari, around, ballo, to throw, means she's completely clothed. And it was given to her that she herself should be completely clothed. And next we have fine linen. as the object of the verb. Fine linen is not only refers to imputed righteousness, but it also refers to the status of ultimate sanctification. Both imputed righteousness and no human good are involved this time. We have the word busenos. B-U-S-S-I-N-O-S. Busenos is the byssus of Egypt, which was the finest linen in the world at that time. All white. Notice it says clean. The accusative singular of lampros means not clean, but bright. Bright and shiny new. Lampros. L-A-M-P-R-O-S. And white. And the word white is katharos, which means unsoiled. K-A-T-H-A-R-O-S. In the ancient world, they didn't have cleaners. Their laundries were not too good. And you just wore something till it fell off and then wore something else. And after a number of meals, no matter how attractive the garment was, it suffered from stains. They didn't have the tableware we have today. They didn't have the manners we have. And most of them were in pretty bad shape after one big meal. But they couldn't afford to have a change every day or after every meal, so they did not. And you could often tell, you could tell the whole eating history of almost anyone by looking at the robe they wore. You see what kind of gravy, what sauce. They could tell, you could tell they were having beans or beets or not, and so on. The colors and the stains all told the story. And it was given to her that she herself should be clothed in fine linen, bright, imputed righteousness, and unsoiled, absence of human good. Now we have an explanatory use of the F exegetic gar. G-A-R. For explanation. The fine linen, busenos, keeps on being, aimi, the righteousness, dikaioma though, dikaioma. Little different. That's D-I-K-A-I-O-M-A. But this is not an omicron, but an omega. And the word actually means little more than righteousness. It means justification. For the fine linen is the justification of the saints altogether. And it was given to her, the church, that she herself should be clothed in fine linen, bright, imputed righteousness, and unsoiled, absence of human good. For the fine linen is the justification of the saints. Now, the guests are mentioned in verse 9. And he saith, present active indicative of lego, L-E-G-O, to me. This is a dative of indirect object to indicate on whose behalf the message was communicated. This is a reference to the Apostle John. Under inspiration, God the Holy Spirit directed him to write this message. And he said to me, aorist active imperative of graphal means write, command to write. This is not an epistolary aorist. G-R-A-P-H-O. Actually, as it is used here, it is an ingressive aorist. Begin to write. And this is what he used to write. He said to me, began to write. Blessed. Nominative plural of Makarios. And you know what that means in the plural. M-A-K-A-R-I-O-S. Makarios. It means happinesses, plural, happinesses, not are they, but to the ones which are called is a perfect passive participle from kalao, and in the perfect tense means who have been invited, K-A-L-E-O, kalao. To the ones who have been invited. This refers to two categories, the friends of the groom, the Old Testament saints, plus the tribulational martyrs. They, as friends of the groom, are in resurrection body. The friends of the bride, tribulational believers alive at the second advent. And he said to me, began to write, happinesses to the ones having been invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. The wedding supper takes place on the earth at the time or immediately after the coronation of Jesus Christ, in contrast to the preparation for the wedding in heaven. Again, the background for this is found in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. The Bible must be interpreted in the time in which it was written. And he saith to me, these are nominative masculine plural from alethenos, genuine or dependable. A-L-E-T-H-I-N-O-S. These are, keep on being, dependable. The word sayings here is the nominative plural of logos, should be translated doctrines. These are genuine doctrines of God, ablative of theos, from the source of the God. Literally then, he said unto me, began to write, happinesses to the ones having been invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he says to me, these are genuine doctrines from the source of the God. Now this gives us a complete rundown of the content of Colossians chapter 3 verse 4. Again, in Colossians chapter 3 verse 4, this is what we have. On the occasion when the Christ, our life, shall become manifest, second advent, at that time, second advent, also you shall become manifest together with him in glory. This is not a rapture passage. And you have enough information now to realize that, so we'll begin next time. Well, what about all this? Why do we have it at this point in our passage? Thank you, Father, for the privilege of studying these things. May God the Holy Spirit enlighten us, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.